Okay, you ready for the word? Let's push up to the table of the Lord and begin to eat. And let me find some notes here. I thought, boy, I'd better make a few, or I was just going to come in, and I thought, well, I'll be all over the place shooting rabbits all day for you, and you'll wonder, where did it go? So I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis, and we're not going to get there for a while, and I promise you I'm not going to go from Genesis to Revelation, but I want to cover a few things first. For years, the church, and I'm sure down through generations, have been talking about the suddenlies of God and how that he came suddenly into the upper room. And there's times where he comes suddenly into our lives, and we just happen into the right place at the right time, like Ruth and Naomi did. And see, God knows everybody in the world. I mean, he knows everybody, and he knows how to make connections and bring us right to the right place at the right time to meet the right people. And I can hear somebody saying, well, I need to meet that right person to help me with this. Well, talk to him about it and tell him, God, you know everybody in the world. So if he needs to send somebody from Alaska or Africa or Porterville or wherever it is, he knows how to get us there. So we've talked about all the suddenlies, but you know what's disappointing with us is that we were kind of taken unaware by this that happened in 2020. I don't know if you weren't, but I was. And I think the whole church world and the world in its entirety, from sports to politics, were like, what? What happened? I mean, it just came like that. And all of a sudden, the restaurants were closed and the theaters were closed. There wasn't going to be any ball games. And it was just the craziest thing. It was a suddenly. It just wasn't the suddenly that we were expecting. And then they put the mask on us. Well, that was a big suddenly. We didn't expect that. And everything seemed to be, I mean, we were hearing rumors in December. And then January and February of 20, it started getting a little rougher. By March, they're saying, oh, you're going to have to close these churches down. It was just so amazing, and we were caught unaware. And I'm thinking, God, we still have prophets in the land, and we're still preachers and evangelists and teachers and apostles and saints, and we've all got our gifts and calling. How come we didn't know that those things were happening? And so I could talk on that all day, but the mask were a surprise, and so many things, such a turn of events that just changed America forever. And America's changed, you guys. You know that, don't you? America's been totally changed. In fact, probably the entire world has changed. And with that said, I'll tell you this. The church has changed. It's just the oddest turn of events. But I pray that today, by the time I share with you what God has given me, that it will help us. I wondered, we're always hearing the sleeping giant has awakened. So this morning I thought, I wonder who first coined that phrase. And so I Googled it. Who first coined the phrase, let the giant awake? Well, here's where it came from. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor, a Japanese admiral, and it said his name, but I couldn't say it anyway, so I didn't write it down. A Japanese admiral said this, I fear he was assessing what had happened when they bombed Pearl Harbor. He was wondering, okay, how much damage did we do? So they're looking at all this, and this admiral said, I fear that all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. America had been nonchalant at that time and kind of, probably wasn't as aware of everything going on because we had had peace now for quite a while. But when that happened, that same note said that America sent over 10 million troops to war 10 million. And so the sleeping giant, no wonder he said, I fear that all we've done is to awaken a sleeping giant. They were asleep, but now we've just filled them with all kinds of resolve. That's what we did. And you know what I think is happening right now? With all of this, these suddenlies, I think that it's all awakened a sleeping giant. And I think the church has been sleepy. Politics has been sleepy. And then President Obama used a four-letter word called woke. And he says, now I'm woke with this. And it just went ballistic. Now everybody uses the word woke. Well, that's nothing new. My Louisiana Rose, I'm sure, had grew up on that word. Marlon and Lula always used. I said, did I wake you up when I called? Oh, no, I was woke. Yeah, it's just a word that, you know, where different cultures have different words. And so when it came out, some of these goofy white folks had never heard it. And then they get all tore up about some of these crazy cultural things that's going on. And they're like, man, we're woke. We're woke. No, you're stupid. That's what you are, baby. Woke. Verissa, you know when you was a baby, woke meant I'm waking up this morning. It didn't mean I'm crazy. So anyway. So America got woke and crazy all at the same time. And so now what's happening since they got woke? Now the giant is awakening. Now listen, we ain't there yet. But I believe here's what we're doing, Brother Art. We're stretching and we're waking and we flip back the covers and we're starting to get out of the lazy bed. And now we're starting to look around saying, hey, oh no, I'm woke. Oh, baby, I'm awake now. No, that's crazy what they did to our kids at school. What? They're teaching that? I mean, they flaunt their darkness on Facebook. I mean, they just flaunt it loudly and proudly. And then you have some Christians that will want to tell you what they said, and they'll repost it so everybody can see it. Don't post their darkness. Don't post their junk. Just give them more propaganda to put out. So I'm going to tell you, I believe that old sleeping giant has gotten her second wind. We may have less people in the house right now, but I can feel it, church. I'm going to tell you what kind of church Landmark is in a minute. Did you feel something in your heart just then, Lori? I saw you go, but see, you're new here, so you didn't want to out loud all the rest of them. But when I said we got our second wind, and I'll tell you what kind of church we are, she went like this. Because none of the old folks, woohoo, yeah, pastor. But we're waking up. Almost woke. All right, we're getting there, Laura. All right. Well, you know, we got all through all through our Bibles. It tells us what's going to happen at the end of time. Just before Jesus comes back, it just tells us a whole lot of things. But one of the things it really talks about at this end time, Timothy talked about it a lot. And Paul taught Timothy almost everything he knew besides the Holy Spirit teaching him. But he said, in the last days, deception will be Satan's plan. And he will come to deceive man. And he says, unless the days be shortened, it could be that the very elect will be deceived. There will be lies and seducing spirits that will seem so sweet and so inviting and so tasteful, just like it was for Eve, that the saints just might follow it along. The very elect could be deceived. And then he talks about the lying, false spirits, and there'll be lies and deception. And that's all we're seeing, folks. I mean, propaganda that's coming out of Washington and the propaganda that comes through our newspapers and the propaganda even in our schools. and in the literature books and reading books and English books and just the books for the little kids. It's just outlandish and crazy. The suddenly that happened and how Satan brought that all in. So I've got to tell you this morning, just be careful what takes your attention. Please pay attention to what you're watching on TV. You know, my babies and I watch Bluey. Do y'all know what Bluey is? The rest of you that's got grandkids. Are you all old or what? To when the babies leave your house, you don't know these little movies. Well, Bluey's a cute little movie, isn't it, Dee? Do y'all watch? Oh, you don't? Okay, I'll forget it then. No, you know, it's cute. Huh? No, they're not woke. So, but Bluey, they're like Australian shepherds. They're like little cartoon dogs. They're like dingo dogs. My husband had a dingo, and they're just so cute. And they've all got this Australian accent. And the dad and the mom and the two little girl dogs, they're both girl dogs. And they're real cute. And dad plays with the kids all the time. It's real playful, real family oriented, really sweet. So I was talking to my sister about Bluey the other day, and she just blew it. She says to me, no pun intended, she says, did you know the other day that Bluey had two boys came in, two uncles that were married? I said, no. I thought they were friends. No, they're married. They're two uncles, two uncle dogs, two uncle dingoes. I didn't even see it. It just slipped past me. I thought. But I'm just saying, you guys, be careful what you see and listen to what other people tell you. And really be careful what takes your attention. Even, you know, it could be your finest of hobbies, golfing or ladies shopping or, you know, getting those credit cards up to here. And then if the bottom falls out in the economy, and we don't know where 2023 is going. So I'm just saying, try to get those cards paid off, get everything done, and just be careful, because I just don't know. See, there's an open heaven. We were just singing about it. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who he is. And when Jesus got baptized, remember what happened? When Jesus was standing in the Jordan, and the Jordan River, Jordan, the place of Jordan always means a place where your eyes come open. The Jordan is a place of new beginnings. And even Jesus had to make it over to the Jordan. And when he got to the Jordan, he was baptized. And the Bible says that the heavens parted. The heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove, in a symbol of a dove, and set upon him. And then his ministry began. Everything was brand new in his life. And you know what I hear the Lord saying this morning? That he is parting the heavens. He's opening the portals over his people. And things are getting ready to change. And the things that change so suddenly, the schools, the sports, the churches, the world, America, politics, the people. Darkness, he said, as quickly as all of that changed, when I part the heavens, it will just come, my glory will come in. And listen. If revival happened today, and I'm just simply talking about an open heaven where the glory comes down, and the glory is the presence of the Lord. The glory is not the anointing. The anointing is what we get to help us do a job for God. Okay, but the glory is not a person. The Holy Ghost is a person, but the glory, it's an atmosphere. It is an environment. And listen, if you've ever been in the glory, in the presence of the glory, as we were in Pensacola, and four or five times that I remember in the late 1990s and early 2000s, the glory would come. And when it came, it was so heavy, it was weighty. It was real weighty. And once you were in that, you were never satisfied again until you were in it again. And so I so felt the Lord telling me this even 2 years ago, but really begin to re-endorse it, if I can use that word, on me this week. that there's an open heaven over Landmark. And he said, as quickly, if he was to bring the glory in today, it's the 20th of March. If we had an outpouring that exploded today, and I'm not just talking about a little piece of glory and revival fires like we've had over the past centuries. No. Not like the upper room. Not even like the upper room. Not like Azusa, Topeka, Kansas, all of those. We're talking about the glory of God. And he came in today. I'm going to tell you something. Within 2 weeks, the whole nation could be totally changed in a moment. I mean, just grow like that. Just like it did as the mass came, the churches closed, the restaurants closed. Just like that. As quickly as that left, he said, when my glory comes, it will change everything. Period. It just will. There's not going to be anything like it. Now, America's not the same. The church is not the same, but America needs God's house. America, the body of Christ, the world, they need God's house. And I just said the body of Christ needs God's house. But there's a lot of people out there, I'm going to tell you right now. It seems like this whole thing has just knocked the faith out of them. I mean, just knocked the faith out of them and filled them with fear. There's people today that are so fearful, they don't even want to go into a grocery store. They don't want to go to church. They're afraid they're going to get a bug, and it may put them in the hospital. And so it's just hurt the body of Christ, not to mention people in the world. People are afraid to go here and afraid to go there. But I'm going to tell you, in this time where they're all announcing their junk and their stuff, when the glory comes in, you walk into a place where you don't even have to open your mouth, and the glory is so on you. When you're at the mall, they'll just walk over and say, I know you can help me, I'm a drug addict, I'm on crack, but there's something about you I believe can get this off of me. And all you've got to do is speak the word, just like Jesus did, like Peter did, like Paul did. You just speak the word and it leaves. What is that? That is not the anointing. You're already anointed. That is the glory of God that makes us different. And that's why he told me 3 years ago, but it took me a year or more to say, take those pictures down back there. Some of you say, Pastor, why'd you take those down? Most of you know. Because the Lord said to take them down. Those are the days of old. I don't want you constantly talking about Azusa and the days gone by. No, we're not there anymore. This is going to be something brand new. And there isn't going to be one of those movements that will be able to compare with the glory in this generation, folks. And again, I'm not talking about just these little Landmark walls. We're talking about a mighty global move of heaven that comes down. So just let me say, if you want to stand under an open heaven, you be under an open heaven, you won't be there long if you're setting your eyes at porn. You won't sit there under an open heaven if you're setting your mind to sin. You won't sit there long if you're playing games over here and you're going over to the table of devils one day and back to the table of the Lord the other day. If you're drinking a cup of the devil one day and a cup of the Lord the next day, that's scriptural. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to read it. He said, don't be going to both tables and don't be drinking both cups. Because in this hour, all that's going to make for is a miserable Christian. And you're going to wonder what happened to you, though you could go right back to that place and say, I was right here the other day, and I know I was wrong. And then just get you so upset. Well, I don't know, and the Lord's not blessing me. Usually, it starts with your finances. He'll just start pulling your finances away. I'm just telling you, it's a very serious thing. One old preacher said years ago, he said, I think it was D.L. Moody, he said, I'd rather play with a bomb in my backyard than play with God. Very dangerous thing. One, I think it was D.L. Moody's most famous sermon was, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So do we need this? Oh yeah, I don't know. I think this revival will be an authentic move of holiness. And when I say authentic, the church has played. You know, she goes to the movies and watches the same movies the world watches. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, we're under grace and that doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Jesus died to deliver us from sin, not to bring us into it. Why would he want us to do that? You know, why would he want us to lay in bed with somebody not married to them? He didn't die for that. He died to free us from it. And then life is much better when you come under the realm of the open heaven. That's where it all began brand new. So if you want a brand new life today, just get your little rear end over to the Jordan. Just get over there. It's a brand new day. And just let him just open the windows of heaven and begin to pour out. And I'll tell you something else about the church. People out there, they don't want a little concert anymore. Pastor Lynn and I talk about it all the time. They don't want a little concert. They're pretty much through with that. We have worshiped for over 20 years, maybe 30 years now. Fog machines, beautiful lights, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just keep everything else going. You know, you can change all that, but you got to keep the truth to truth. So they're really not coming in here, because when this glory hits, they start coming in, because God doesn't care. If there's a Christian or there's somebody over there at Starbucks, he just might come and bring the glory right into Starbucks. He might just bring it on over to Walmart, over by the card section. See, he's not worried if anyone gets offended. He don't care, because he knows that offense is going to turn out for their good. And they're going to be like, oh my goodness, what happened to me? They really don't care. But I want to tell you folks, God is not through with Landmark Christian Center. God is not through with Landmark. And I believe we're just getting started. I mean, just getting started. And I believe one thing was, we had to get those pictures off the wall of the has-beens. He said, those guys were revivalists, yes, but they're dead and gone. I'm raising up a whole new breed of people that's not afraid to do anything, say anything, or be anything that I want them to be. Well, I can tell you something about this, and I was thinking this morning, I kind of wish that there was another, maybe an evangelist here this morning that knew us, that could say these things, and I wouldn't have to say them, but I want to, and I feel to say it, and certainly not that. You know me, you know that. But I'll tell you what we did. Yeah, we closed in 2020 in March. Everybody closed. All the churches closed. So we closed. And there was, you know, the pandemic was coming through. So we all closed. But in May, on the day of Pentecost, we opened up with a few other churches that opened up. But then they started trolling us and telling us, you have to shut down. And we didn't. And then it got really hot in the summer. And it's like 105 to 110 degrees out there. And the health department calls me, because we were one of the only maybe two or three churches that were open in town. All the others had shut down again. Still closed. We opened up with a few other, I'll say, spirit-filled churches opened up in May. But many kept their doors closed. And I shouldn't have said that. A lot of other spirit-filled churches kept their doors closed too. That's okay. That's their thing. But I'm just saying, we took the risk and we stayed open. So the health department calls me and says, is this Paulette Blaylock? Yes, ma'am. Well, we heard that your church is open. Is that true? Yes, it is, honey. We're open. Well, now, have you heard the governor's new rules? Yes, I have. You know, we went through the 10 people thing. We're just a praise team came, a couple of ushers. And so we did all that. Nobody here. We did the Facebook thing. We all stayed on Facebook. And so then she says, now, did you hear the governor's news? And I said, Well, no, has he got a new word? She says, yes. I said, well, when did he bring it? She said, well, I don't know. She put me on hold, went check, came back, said, just last Friday. I said, okay. And she says, are you going to take the people outside? You can do what a lot of churches are and take the people outside. I said, ma'am, I can't do that. I said, we've got a whole host of new babies that have just been born. And I'm not going to ask these young couples to take their babies outside in that 110-degree weather. And I said the same about the winter time when it was winter. And I said, and then I've got older folks, and I'm not going to ask the older folks to go sit out there in a seat in hot degree weather. And she says, well, we'll just send someone from Sacramento. They'll just come and shut you down. And I said, okay, honey. I said, let me talk to my board. We'll see what we say. We'll talk about it, and we'll get back to you. Well, I never got back to her, and she never got back to me. But we just stayed open. You see, they were threatening. They would threaten, and they would threaten and try to do those things. But we did stay open, and I did want a jail testimony. You know, I've got all the testimony I want. I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to do all that. And while others were seeker-friendly over the past 10 or 12 years, I'm just telling you who Landmark is, you know? It's just us. You know what? I'm not putting other people down. I'm just telling you who we are. But I just never could be a seeker-friendly church. I just couldn't be. And I know what kind of people you are. You don't want to be seeker-friendly. You know, people, they would go door-to-door asking them, how do you want to have church? Well, I just want to come as I am. I want to come in my PJs and my house shoes. And, you know, they just had all kinds of ideas. And we don't want as long as services. You know, give us 45 minutes and we'll be happy. Oh, yeah? Really? Yeah. We just went to the movies last night and watched a 2.5-hour movie. In your clothes, not your PJs. Yeah, you went out there golfing, sir, when it was 110 degrees and stayed on the golf course 9 hours. Are you kidding me? Ugh. You know, all kinds of, we just want you to pull it down a little bit, you know, just pull it down. Well, for Facebook, we did pull it down a little bit. And when others went to a soft gospel, we didn't. We just stayed the same. Same old gospel. Same old gospel. In a world where people were, well, you're going to hurt my feelings, Pastor, and I'll just go down the street. Well, help yourself, baby. We'll make it. We will make it. So our gospel never changed. Oh, isn't this pretty? Now, we didn't do a big deal, but we did paint it. We did put some lights and we changed some things. Oh, we're still going to get some more facelifts around here. I love what Brother Anthony did at the bookstore. We did a few changes. Services are a little shorter, but we never change a message. The gospel is exactly the same. And I'll tell you this, from the minute we started Landmark, we were never a white church. We were never a black church. We were never a Hispanic church. We were never Asian. We were never one kind of people. We were all together and we all drink from the same fountain. I don't care. Doesn't matter to us. We would all, when we founded the church, there might be 50 or 75 of us go to lunch together at Carmen's. We'd have the big room Greg sent, remember? We'd all go down there, and here you'd have a builder sitting with Tom the mechanic. And you would have him sitting with my sister over here who's on welfare. And you'd have them sitting over here with the Boudreaux who's in law enforcement. And we just had all kinds of people, red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. See, we just have the whole gang together. I don't care if they're trans people coming in here, homosexuals. Come on, we love you too. You can come in. Come on in. If you're a prostitute, come in. We love you too. But Jesus loved you too much to leave you that way. He don't want to leave you that way. But we will love you. Art, what's his name? Escalera. You know, he came in, he's all tatted up, all cute. T-shirt, got a little button right here. And I don't know what all he had, bald head to go with everything. He still got all that, really. So he comes in, and Loretta's all cutesy. Loretta, you stand. And then you stand, Art, and lift up your sleeves. Not too much, but there you go. Okay, and there's Loretta, okay? So they look like two different people, don't they? The only thing is he was a whole lot younger. This was black. You can have a seat. And Loretta, she was a lot younger, but still pretty. And so he walks in. The first one he meets is this little woman who walks over there and just wraps him up in her arms. And he's like, what? She likes me. We don't care. We didn't care then, and we don't care now. Little gal walked into the youth center one night. Youth pastor came out and said, Pastor, that poor little girl's had 9 abortions. I said, you love her? You tell those kids they better not open their mouth to her. Now, I have to teach these things from the pulpit because it's the word of the Lord. But you don't say nothing. See, church, we love each other, and I got to hurry here. But God just asked me, am I a God of the past? I said, no, Lord. I promise you, we don't think you are. Then take those pictures down. Okay. But I have a tendency to go back and tell you about all those revivals. Yeah, they're good. We got to know. But still, he said, no, I want you to look in here because here's where we're headed. Now, people say, yeah, but I want to see. Well, so do I. So did the disciples. A lot of people said, Jesus, we want to see a miracle. But he said, it's a new thing I'm doing with my people, and the old won't even compare to the new. I mean, it won't even compare. And I believe what Jesus was saying when he said, and greater than that, greater things than these shall you do, he saved for the last days. Remember, he saved the best wine to the last. See, this new wine, he saved till the last days. It's going to be something that we will be totally wiped out drunk on. And a drunk man has no worries. A drunk man cries easy. A drunk man, they tell me, is very bold. He's strong. He's bold. But he doesn't always know what he's saying. But God said, on this new wine, you'll have all of that. You'll have boldness. You'll be able to sleep. You'll be full of faith. But you'll know what you're saying. And you will know what you're doing. And you will do all the signs and wonders that I promised you. That's what you will do. Now, okay, I'm almost done. Okay, I'll ask you again, who have no grandchildren and children. Do you know, have you ever heard of Common Core Math? Thank you, Eric. Eric, you can probably do it, right? No. All right. Common Core Math is a crazy, can you do it, Dustin? You can't do regular math. Well, okay, I can't either. Good answer. Okay. Well, Common Core Math, okay, let's break it down. Okay, if the teacher wants to know, how much is 3 and 3? Okay, all you got to say is, everybody knows. So I give my babies the answer. Nana, that's not it. Yes, it is. No, that's not. No, you've got to tell her how you got that answer. Okay, count it up on your. No, it's like, y equals 0 equals. And it almost looks like geometry by the time they're finished. And you're like, honey, I don't care about all that. It's still 6. Well, I know it's going to be, but it's not yet. That's what those little ones say to you. It is, Nana, but it's not yet. And you know what I heard the Lord about 5:30 this morning say to me? You know, Jesus spoke to the fishermen like fishermen and the doctors like a doctor. And he just has to talk to you so you understand. Well, I remember those those problems. And while they were Zooming, that I just said, honey, we got to wait till your daddy or mama gets home. And we'll see if daddy knows the answer. Daddy's like, yeah, just like that. So I heard the Lord saying, you know, this new move that I'm making right now, it's going to be like that new math. You're just going to get the answer. And you're not even not going to know what kind of method I used to get it there. I mean, it's just going to happen, Debbie and Lindell. You didn't know last year that where you're going now? Into rest? Are you kidding me? You got the answer, but you don't. You guys wanted to have a child. I mean, you got an adult one, but still. You got the answer, but you didn't know. Listen, you guys, you better be expecting, because we got some big things. I mean, major. I don't even know what kind of answers you need. And you guys that have businesses, you have money in the bank, you got some things going on, you've got assets. And I'm just telling you, you guys are in for something so much bigger than you've ever known. And the rest that live paycheck to paycheck. Some, there, you know, there's middle stream, there's low stream, there's here, there's there. But God said it's all going to be the same. Everybody had the same need at the store. When they ran out of toilet paper, it didn't matter whether you were rich or poor. Everybody's running down there. I don't know if they're out, but everybody else is going to go get it. So I better go too. See, it's all going to look the same. Rich or poor or in between. He said it's going to be like new math. You're going to have the answer, but you're not going to know how you got it. It'll be such a suddenly, hallelujah. Well, when God opens the heavens, it just comes to pass. All right, I want to read my scripture and I'm done. Okay, I'm not just getting started. You say, oh, shoot, she's reading the scripture now. We're just getting, no. Go over to Genesis chapter 28. It's 11:10 and El Tapatio is still open. By the way, this is totally off the subject. But did you know we have a new little restaurant in town? Yeah. It's over by Habit, by the Habit and Chipotle and all that. It's called what? West Coast sourdough. And it is amazing. It has sourdough and clam chowder. Every day they have clam chowder. And the bread is like, they got a picture of San Francisco. I'm just telling you, the sourdough bread's just like you'd get in San Francisco's sidewalks 20 years ago, not today. So anyway, just wanted to tell you that's good. All right, Genesis 28. Look at this. I got to tie this up with this. Because I asked you in the beginning, guess who's coming? That's the title of my message, Brother Rick. Guess who's coming? All right, look at this. Jacob had no idea. You and I have no idea. Okay, but look at this. Old story, so many of you are familiar with. Genesis 28, verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place. Say that. A certain place. And he stayed there how long? All night when it was dark. It was dark. Because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, say that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now we have, look folks, we've been at a certain place. In fact, we've been at that place, whatever that place is for you. You've been there, and maybe it's been lonely inside of you, and no one else knows but you, that you're at that certain place. But look at this, verse 12, and then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So now there's angelic activity. And the Bible tells us all through the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, that the angels are ministering spirits that are sent to minister to the people of God. So now we have a visual. And in fact, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, from now on, He says, you are going to see the angels ascending and descending on me. And I'll tell you, we may not see them, but this is what happens in our lives. And it's going to happen more. There's going to be more angelic activity on earth than there's ever been. Okay, so I want you to look at verse 15. Here's a message that he gave to him, but everything in the Bible is relevant, so I want to bring it to us. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. Now, that was a promise. I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, New Testament, what did he say? I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. No matter what place you go to, behold, I'm with you, and I'll keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to what? To total restoration. For I won't leave you. Verse 16, look, and then Jacob did what? He awoke. I'm woke. I see the angels, Lord, I'm woke. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep, See, the body of Christ has some have been sleeping, the Laodicean church. But he said, there's an awakening upon us. Don't feel bad. It's all of us. I'm talking about the body as a whole. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. He was in that certain place right where you are. And you don't get it. And it seems messy and scary and you don't like that place where you are. But Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I didn't even know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven, or the open portal. This is it. So see, whenever you get into that certain place that you just don't get and you don't understand, when he sends his angels and his Holy Spirit to assist us and he opens our eyes to see that he is always, he's always been with us. And you're at the open Jordan like Jesus and he's getting ready to change everything in our lives and in our nation. And when we get to that place, you'll say, whoa, this place, that place I was at was awesome. If I hadn't gone there, I would have probably never gotten here. Come on and stand on your feet with me and worship the Lord. Because if you hadn't been there, you wouldn't get here. I'm telling you, your past will not compare with your future. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we praise you for a mighty word. I thank you, Lord. You've had your eye on this little church. You've had your eye on this little corner for years and years and years. And we are here. It's not a great big sanctuary. There's not a whole lot of people. But Lord, we don't know what our future holds, but we know who holds our future. Father, we don't know what our lives are doing as we age, as we grow, as the kids graduate from school. As they are going to elementary school, some in kindergarten, some graduating. Some are out there wondering, what am I going to do for a living? Some wondering, God, what wife are you going to send me? What husband are you going to send me? What's going to happen in my life? All I'm saying, folks, is get under the open heaven. Just get on down to the Jordan, and that's where Jesus is. You'll find him right there. So, Father, we thank you. Come on, just lift your hands and thank him. And praise him and say, Lord, I receive what you have for me. Lord, send us the glory. Send the glory to this place, Lord. Send the glory to our lives. Send the power from heaven, Lord. May the glory of God rest upon us, Lord. Rest upon us. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Paulette, I just need to return to the Lord. I want to start right now. I want my life totally restored. I've backslidden. I've stepped away. I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. I'm just not where I used to be. Cares of this life, other things entering in, they just came and messed me up. Well, if that's you, why don't you come down here with me and we'll pray. and we'll just get you back. All you've got to do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. Make me whole. I believe you died for me and you rose again. Jesus said, believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. Come on, right now, just lift up your hand. You can do it right there. Lord, I lift my hands to you today and I believe that you died for me. And I believe, Lord. You said, believe on me and you shall be saved. We got one honest young heart here that says, Lord, I want to be all you've called me to be. I want to say to you today. Now see, the reason Jacob was down at this certain place is because he was running from his brother. Because he stole his birthright. See, he got his birthright, but God used that. So he was tore up from the floor up. He was full of fear. He's afraid his brother's going to come and thump on him, maybe even kill him. And he was full of fear. So I don't know. I'm just saying, do not let your past rear up its ugly head. You may have done what it said you did, but you're not who it's telling you you are. You are the woman of God. You are the man of God, and don't you let those demons from hell tell you what you're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. Shut up, devil, in Jesus' name, and let him take you. You're already at the certain place, so and sometimes you lay your head down, and it feels like you're laying on a rock, and it's night all over the place, but great things, folks. Come on, you had to go there to get here, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace in your heart and your mind and your soul and your house and your family and your love. Peace be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Thank you for visiting Landmark today.